This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, WGCU's Mike Canary will talk with a member of the Fort Myers Amateur Radio Club to learn how ham radio is sometimes used by emergency operations officials as a last line of communication in the wake of disasters like hurricanes. But first, the 2019 Atlantic hurricane season officially began on Saturday, and according to a new study, Floridians are more worried about hurricanes this year, likely because four major storms have hit the state in the past 3 years. According to the AAA Consumer Pulse Survey, 92% of Floridians say they are concerned about the possibility of experiencing another hurricane this year, and about one in five say they're more worried this year than last. That survey also found that nearly 80% say they will evacuate if warned to do so. Joining me now to talk about the survey and get some general advice about hurricane preparation is Mark Jenkins, Public Relations Program Consultant with AAA. Mark, welcome to Gulf Coast Live, and thanks for your time.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, how are you feeling as hurricane season gets underway? Do you feel prepared? Do you feel more concerned than in years past? Or have the recent active seasons changed your attitude when it comes to hurricane preparation and questions like, would you evacuate if told to do so? We invite you to join our conversation. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So for starters, tell me about how this survey was conducted. What is the purpose of it?
The purpose of it is just to kind of get a gauge of what consumers are really feeling as we're heading into hurricane season. The survey itself conducted online a survey of about 400 different Florida residents, and the findings were very interesting. You listed some of the findings themselves. About 92% of people are concerned about hurricane season, but of course, when you factor in the active seasons that we've had the past few years, not really that big of a surprise that nearly one in five are more concerned than last year.
Yeah. So did you survey AAA members?
No, these are all non-members, members. It's a good mix.
Okay, well, I was going to say AAA members might be people that would be more of the prepared type of person, I would imagine, than the general population. Was it any particular part of the state?
Nope, it's all across the state.
All across the state. So you do this poll every year. Were you surprised by some of the changes in these findings?
A lot of the findings tend to be about the same, especially when you talk about people's willingness to evacuate based on the different type of storm, whether it's Category 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. It was kind of interesting, like we mentioned, to see the number of people who are more concerned than last year. But again, when you consider how active some of the storms have been across the state of Florida in the past several years, not really that big of a surprise.
One of the things that I found kind of interesting, some of the results, how concerned are you about flooding at your home? 20% answered very concerned, 37% said somewhat, and 43% said not at all. And then the next question is, have you experienced flooding at your current residence? Yes, 19%. So people who have already had flooding at their residence, 19%, and then 20% are the ones that are very concerned. So 1%, in addition to those who have had flooding, are concerned about flooding. Do you think people are cognizant of how likely it is to have a flooding situation after a storm?
I don't think so. I think that a lot of folks don't really take into consideration the threat of flooding, especially if they do not live in what's considered to be a high-risk flood zone. People need to realize that if you live in Florida and if you're living in an area where it rains, then it can certainly flood. So it's very important for you to take flooding very seriously. And I think that one of the points that really drives that home is the fact that only 27% of people in the survey have flood insurance. So 73%, or about three-quarters of folks across the state, do not have flood insurance.
Yeah, and I think that maybe that stems from the fact that not a lot of people really understand that homeowners insurance doesn't cover flood most of the time.
Yeah, in fact, and that's one of the questions that we asked as well is, are you aware that homeowners insurance does not cover flood damage? And about one in five folks say, no, I'm not aware of that. So I think that that's one of the things certainly that drives that number higher.
But it still says 79% are aware of that, but they still just then choose not to get the flood insurance because I guess they just think that I'm not in a flood zone, so I might not flood. But part of the problem is with hurricanes, it's a lot of water.
Yeah, it's a lot of water, and the thing is that if you're in a low-lying area, you don't necessarily have to be impacted by a storm surge. I mean, you could just have an area that does not drain well. so you can certainly have rising water as a result of that, and so you can deal with flooding issues. It was a situation that I had in my old home that I actually put sandbags up. I was not in what was considered to be a high-risk flood zone, but still, flooding was a concern for us, and we had to take the proper precautions.
One of the things that I also found a little bit interesting is the uptick in how likely people are to evacuate at lower category storms. It seems from my recollection, it seems like after storms, people who evacuated were annoyed that they couldn't get back to their home or whatever, so they say, I'm not going to evacuate next time. But that does not seem to be the case.
Well, we did see an uptick in the number of people who would evacuate for a Category 2 storm, but it tends to be about the same for Category 3 through 5. We're seeing about 62% of people who say that they would leave if the storm is a Category 3 or higher. I think that sometimes the reasoning tends to be about the same for why people do not want to evacuate, whether it be, like you mentioned, their concern about not being able to get back home quickly after the storm, or maybe even they can't afford to evacuate. Maybe they can't afford the price of a hotel. Or some people are just concerned about their pets. They're concerned about looters. So there can be a variety of reasons, but when you take a look at what happened last year in the Panhandle, you have a lot of folks who were taking a look at an approaching storm. It wasn't a Category 4 or a Category 5 until just about a day or two before it hit. And by the time the storm had really increased in its severity, it was too late. A lot of folks couldn't get out, unfortunately.
Yeah, the thing, they can change on a dime, and they can change track, and they can also change intensity. If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Mark Jenkins. He's a public relations program consultant with AAA. We're talking about the results of their 2019 Consumer Pulse survey about hurricane and flood preparation. Do you feel prepared if another hurricane hits Southwest Florida? Give us a call, 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Mark, I'd like you to go over some of the basic hurricane preparation advice that everyone should know. AAA, well known for the automotive hitting the road. Knowing your evacuation route, how do people become aware of exactly how to evacuate in the most timely way?
Well, I think that just paying close attention to the news is really one of the biggest things that you can do. You can also go online to the local government websites. You can find out where to go, and then you could likely also sign up for alerts where you can find out when it's really time for you to hit the road. But ultimately, I think that just staying really focused, it's hurricane season now, paying attention to weather alerts. If you know that there's a storm coming, it's time to go ahead and start making plans, kind of a just-in-case scenario. And if you're in that cone of uncertainty, then it's time to go ahead and really start taking things seriously and developing that plan of if and when we're going to go ahead and hit that road.
There's also the website floridadisaster.org. There's a way there to track recommended evacuation routes for your region. And if you do choose to leave your home, how do you secure your home? What does AAA recommend people do with their home when they pack up their car and leave?
Well, I think that it's very important for you just to go ahead and make sure, obviously, you lock the doors. If you can board up windows, and that's great, too. Make sure that you're taking photos of all of your make sure you're taking photos of the home itself. Take some video of the home, and then also gather all of your important records and documents, and important photos and things like that. Things that are easy to move, but certainly items that are going to help you kind of rebuild if you do need to. And that includes insurance policies to make sure that you have that information so you can make the important filings that you need to do.
Yeah, because chances are you're going to be needing to make that phone call. Do you suggest people cut off electricity to their home, or is there any kind of a fire risk if you don't flip your main breaker, or should you?
I'm not sure that we really have a stance on that particular thing. I think that that's more of a personal decision.
All right. And then as far as making a plan, there's a family emergency plan that AAA recommends. What has to be included in that?
In your family emergency plan, obviously you want to have all the emergency contacts written down and loaded into your members' cell phones. In the event that you become separated, it's important that you include the number of an out-of-state contact. And then, of course, people with pets should also remember to include the number for their local animal shelter. And then from there, you just want to determine a location to meet in case people get separated, and identify the safest room in the house if you are to stick around. Be sure that everyone in your family knows about this room. Also teach family members how to turn off the gas, electricity, and water should the situation get to that point.
Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with any of our listeners about preparation and things that sometimes get forgotten?
Yeah, I think that just ultimately it's important to take a step back and really set some time aside to focus on preparing for hurricane season, because when the storm comes, things can get very hectic and things really start moving fast. And it can be difficult to really take some time to really take a look holistically at what needs to be done. So now is really the best time to do it. You hear it all the time, but sometimes people don't necessarily take it seriously until a storm is approaching. Now is the time really to sit down with your family, go over your plan, but also sit down and take a look at your insurance policy and ensure that you have the proper coverage. Folks at AAA are certainly willing and able to talk with you about that. But, you know, it's not just homeowners insurance. It's also flood insurance. A lot of people don't realize that flooding is not covered under your homeowners insurance coverage. And oftentimes it can be very inexpensive. Just as little as a dollar a day can get you the proper flood insurance policy to make sure that you and your family are covered.
And this is another insurance question for you before I cut you loose, and we're going to be talking to some people that are specialists in insurance also. But tell me a little bit about renter's insurance. Do people that are renting need to have insurance in case of a hurricane?
Yeah, you absolutely have to have renter's insurance, because while you don't necessarily own the structure itself, your belongings are inside. And if you want to make sure that you can have those items replaced, then you're going to need an adequate insurance policy to cover you there.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for this part of the show, but I want to thank my guest, Mark Jenkins. He's a public relations program consultant for AAA. He joined us from his office in Tampa. Mark, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And I'm going to turn now to insurance in the studio. Anyone who's been through a hurricane or other natural disaster knows how challenging navigating the claims process can be, and that's if you have the right kinds of insurance to begin with. Joining me now in studio to discuss what homeowners should be considering as the 2019 hurricane season gets underway is Michelle Losapio. She is a Fort Myers-based State Farm agent who moved to Southwest Florida and opened her agency in 2004, just after the hurricane Charlie. She's a Florida native and has been with State Farm 31 years in total. Michelle, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Jolie.
We're also joined in studio by Jose Soto. He is the Public Affairs Brand Promotion Specialist with State Farm. Jose, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you, Julie.
Do you feel ready for hurricane season when it comes to your insurance? Do you have a question for our guests about your existing policy? Or do you have a story that you'd like to share about what you dealt with when it comes to insurance after Hurricane Irma in 2017? If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Michelle, you moved here in 2004?
I did.
Right after Hurricane Charlie?
I watched Hurricane Charlie go over my new office.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
So after that, I guess you were a little busy.
I was busy. It took up that whole first year. You know, when we drove down the interstate, my husband and I were like, that's a lot of blue roofs, you know, with all the tarps. So yeah, it was a very busy year.
So, and the next few years were active too. 2005 mm-hmm. was considered a very active year, one of the more active years on record. What did that do to you in your new position?
You know, it just allowed me the opportunity to get to know the clients a little better. You know, we're very engaged with our clients and going over coverages, making sure they're properly insured. So, you know, that's the time you come together, right? And so I was able to call them, talk to them. You know, the following year, you know, we were without power for a little bit. And we used our old analog phones to call people and sat and with no AC on. But, it's an opportunity to kind of get to know your clients and help them understand their policies better.
So you had been with State Farm for 31 years. Had you dealt with hurricane issues previously in your previous location?
Yes. I started actually in mail and file, kind of worked my way as a team member out in Orlando. So we've dealt with different type of disasters, hail storms, all of that. We're in Jacksonville when Floyd hit, helped work Andrew claims. So I had some experience
with it.
I did, yeah.
Was there anything that surprised you about Southwest Florida or Southwest Florida insurance consumers during those years just after Charlie? Were there things that people didn't know that you kind of thought people would have known, or was there an awareness that might have been lacking?
Hurricane deductibles. Understand your hurricane deductibles. A lot of people didn't understand how the hurricane deductible was applied, how it worked for the season. Understanding your coverage. You know, is screen and enclosures covered? That's a good one. Backup of sewer and drains, mold, all of those different things that you need to go through. Is your home insured 100% to value? Have you gone – if you've made any changes to your home, have you sat down with your agent and said, we've added on a screen and enclosure, we've added on a detached carport? Those items, yearly reviews are extremely important. And your deductible can only be changed at renewal. So you can't call and say, my policy renews in November and it's June and a hurricane's coming. Can you change my deductible? You can't do it. You can
only
do it at renewal.
Yeah, I tried that in 2017.
I'll be honest. I did. I did. I really did. I called and I was like, okay, I'm really not excited about this deductible and it's not looking good. So there's the deductible with hurricane insurance. How is that different? Why is it different? Why do they do that?
Well, a majority of Floridians do have a hurricane deductible, 2, 5, or 10%. Mm-hmm. And you pick that at the time of the purchase of the home policy and your agent goes through with it. You do also have other options.
That's 5 to 10% of the value of the home.
Right. So we'll give an example. Let's say the home is insured for $100,000 and you have a 2% deductible. That's $2,000, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy math. So you have to – and your coverage A or your structure itself, it does change every year. So that deductible is almost kind of like a floating target, right? So you need to understand, is your home insured to value, right? Is it overinsured? And then what's that hurricane deductible? You do have other options such as an all-peril deductible where you can just have a flat deductible. And those are some options as well.
Yeah. The other thing folks need to look at when you're looking at insuring your home, it's not what your home sells for in the market. There's a big difference between the market value of your house, which is typically a lot higher than the replacement cost. So replacement cost is the actual cost to rebuild your home. I worked as an adjuster with State Farm for almost 10 years. I was heavily involved with Hurricane Andrew claims. And a lot of folks would think, well, hey, if the house was a total loss, you got to pay me the market value of the house. No, we pay what it would cost to rebuild your home. A lot of times that is a lot less. Well, depends. If you have a lot of expensive things in your home, sometimes people can add a little bit more value to that. But it's two different numbers altogether. And that's one thing folks need to look at. What is the replacement cost to rebuild their home? And that's what's so critical to go ahead and meet with your local agent to do that.
Well, and then another thing that I think catches people by surprise is flood insurance, that homeowners insurance does not cover if you have a flood.
Correct.
And it never does?
Rising waters. Mark made some really good points. And I'm a Florida native. I was born in Clearwater Beach. I've been in Florida my whole entire life. And you hear Florida natives say, we live in a swamp. So even if you're in a non-flood area, which I was not during Irma, we were swimming in our street. I mean, we couldn't get out. So flood insurance is really not that expensive when you're in a non-flood area, a certain zone.
I know you can't really give a quote because we're not like at a house giving a quote. But can you ballpark that when you say not very expensive?
Mm-hmm. If you are a resident of – if that's your primary residence because we do have a lot of seasonal, you're talking between $400 and $500 a year for $250,000 in coverage, which is the most you can get, and $100,000 in contents. Mm-hmm. So between $400 and $500, it's like $470 around. Mm-hmm. If you are a non-resident that is not your primary home, you're talking about $700 because it's a little bit more expensive if that's not your primary resident. So it's really not that much if you think about that. $500, if my home floods, I have no coverage. Mm-hmm. I could be covered for $250,000 on the structure, $100,000 on contents minus whatever deductibles you choose, right? So those are depending on those deductibles that you choose. So that was another thing going back to your previous question. A lot of people in talking to them didn't understand flood is a separate policy and it has to be written separately. Mm-hmm. And there is a 30-day wait.
That's important. But can flood insurance be put with your mortgage like your homeowner's insurance?
If it is well, I don't want a broad-based answer to that, but if it's required by your mortgage company, yes, they can escrow for it. If it's not, then you paid in full.
Oh, you pay in full at one time. Mm-hmm. Or unless you make like a payment plan or something like that. I don't know. That's kind of technical
stuff.
It depends
on the carrier.
Yeah, it depends on who it is.
Now, the other thing folks need to look at is their vehicle. A lot of vehicles flood also, and you need to make sure you have comprehensive coverage on your vehicle. By law, an automobile, typically you only need to have liability coverage in an automobile. But if you have comprehensive coverage, then flood would be covered under that automobile policy.
So that's something else that we need to look at. So you don't have to get separate flood insurance on your truck.
No, you don't.
And
there you go.
There were a lot of auto claims in Irma across Florida. And I even remember, I was telling our neighbor, I really don't think I would attempt what you think is a puddle is probably a pond. And they drove through it and the car just died.
Yeah.
And it had to be towed out. Yeah. You know, we couldn't get our neighborhood without a truck. And so the other thing on top of that comprehensive, car rental. Because you're not going to have your car back right away. You're going to need to replace your car. Make sure you have car rental on your auto policy mm-hmm. as well.
So one thing that I don't want to gloss over, though, yeah. with the flood insurance thing, there's a 30-day wait. So
yes.
if you got flood insurance today and your house flooded on June 25th, it's not covered. So you it's 30 days from today if you go get your flood insurance like right now.
And so a lot of people after Harvey were like, I need flood insurance. Well, Irma wasn't that far behind, you know, and you're like, you have a 30-day wait.
Yeah, because yeah. Harvey happened over across the Gulf and it just
the rain
that here. Just sat there and just rained and rained and rained.
It felt like it was never
going
to end.
Yeah, it just kept going. It just sat there. It just camped out and just – oh, it was terrible. But so people here are looking at that going, oh, maybe I should kind of think about flood insurance. But I also called and asked about that. Yeah, there was a 30-day wait.
There's a 30-day wait.
I was last-minute Sally
and
in 2017.
And don't forget, when you're in that area of uncertainty, you know, companies aren't allowed to write. You can't bind coverage when you see a storm kind of heading at you. So that mold coverage, that backup of sewer and drains, all of those options and endorsements that you really need to meet with your local agent and go over, those are important.
So backup of sewer yeah. and drains, that's a thing that is part of the homeowner's insurance policy, but not all homeowner's insurance policies have that then, right?
It's an endorsement in most cases that you have to add on.
Oh, so you have to add right. that on. And, well, we all saw what happened with the sewage systems
yes,
when we had that long-term
mm-hmm.
power failure. And, boy, that did not smell good at all.
No.
So,
and then the other thing that we saw a lot of was loss assessment. You know, don't forget, you know, when you're part of a homeowner association or condo association, you know, you need to make sure you have loss assessment. And also, what's your loss of use? If you have to get out of your house, you can't get back in it. You know, what is your loss of use? Because your carrier, depending on the carrier, will pay for you to go live someplace else if your home's not habitable or if you have to evacuate.
So we're talking a lot about single-family homeowners insurance policies. What is a condo a dweller, somebody who owns a condo, what is their responsibility as far as insurance? Do they need to do things above and beyond what's included in the
yes.
HOA?
They're responsible for their inside structure, right? And that depends on their deeds and restrictions. So I would say know that. Know what you're responsible for. You're responsible for the drywall or just the paint. And then they have the coverage inside. And then they also need flood insurance because if it comes up underneath the door, normally your wall-to-wall carpeting or tile, your cabinetry, all of that would be under your personal policy. So it's important to know your coverages.
Oh, I can't. I guess maybe upper floors. Flood insurance might not be like 18th floor. I hope it never gets that high.
Hopefully not.
That's not. If not, we're all in trouble.
Yeah, we're all
if it gets
in trouble.
And renters. You know, I have a son that's also in college. And you know, when we were talking before, I thought, you know, when you think of your plan, you also have to think of your plan if your child is not with you in the state of Florida. Mine's in Orlando. You know, what's his plan?
Mm-hmm.
And we have renters on him. Right. So if they have to evacuate. So it's also important. And I have a mother I take care of and I have dogs too. Right. Mm-hmm. So what's your plan? And then once you know what you're responsible for, then build your plan based on that. How you evacuate. Where are you going to go? I love my animals like, you know, nobody's business. I want my dogs to come with me. Where's a shelter that's going to take dogs? Or do I have someone out of state that I can drive to that mm-hmm. is going to take my dogs?
Other thing, if you own a boat, which a lot of folks own boats, and you know you want to secure your boat, and many people may think, well, I'm going to put my boat in my garage, I'll secure it, nothing will happen. But let's say that your home gets damaged and your boat gets damaged. You need to make sure you have insurance on that boat because just because your home gets damaged, your boat is not going to be covered under your homeowner's policy. You need to have a separate policy for your boat. So that's very important.
So hurricanes are different from other things in the way of how homeowners insurance works. So, you know, if your home is damaged by a hurricane, it's treated differently than other kinds of damage. Is there a difference in car and boat when it comes to a hurricane impacting it, or is there a difference? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's all covered under your comprehensive on a vehicle,
okay.
right? So you don't have, you know, most Floridians carry that separate hurricane deductible. Comprehensive is your fire, theft, flood, you know, that type of stuff.
And then
the boat is you have a single deductible. You shouldn't have anything. The other thing that I heard mentioned was, you know, kind of how do you prepare? One of the things that I'm sure many people saw, I saw it with Irma, was your outside stuff, take inside your garage. You know, so we're like, oh, that's so-and-so's umbrella. And that's so-and-so's garbage can.
Flying around.
And you have stuff flying around outside. So make sure that those things that can propel and hit your neighbor's window are actually inside your garage.
Also the coconuts on the palm tree. Those become little cannonballs.
Those come. Yes, they do.
And then after a storm, you know, we're talking all this before, but after the storm occurs, very first thing you should do, you know, after you secure your family, make sure everybody is safe, is take plenty of photos.
Yeah,
start
that's
doing
what I was going to say.
Inventory. It's critical to do that because that's going to help when your insurance adjuster comes over. You want to make it as simple as possible for them to see the damages that are there.
Then we talked about preparation, doing an inventory, a photographic inventory of the house, what condition it's in before. And then also one after. And is there a way to maybe timestamp those photos so that you can know this picture was taken not 10 years ago when it looked super great? You know what I'm saying? Like people who post-date their profile pictures to make them look better.
not that anyone here does that.
No, I don't know what that – I've heard of this.
I'll give you an example. When Irma – I live in the South Florida area. When Irma came by, I took a video of my home before, and I literally did a walkthrough around all the – so you see, this is the item, this, and my personal property. Now, I didn't go into what the value is of those items. You can do that separately. But I did that, and then after the Irma went through, I did a video shot. Luckily, I did not have any damage to my home. Everything was outside. But I did a video shot and I did timestamp it on my camcorder. So,
and if you can, maybe just go get a local paper and videotape the date next to your house.
There you go.
Yeah, that's not only important during hurricane season. I tell all my clients, you know, you need to have an inventory of your house. So walk through, do a video of your house, look under the cabinets, all of that stuff. And I say do it annually. So when you get your fire or your homeowner policy in the mail, go through and look at it. We had a house fire several years ago when we lived in Jacksonville. And I was so happy I did that because you don't realize how much stuff you have.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask kind of a general umbrella question here. Jose, do you foresee a time when insurance companies get tired of trying to insure things in Florida because of the tendency towards hurricanes? I get concerned sometimes that insurance companies might just eventually just throw – there's no way to insure this many homes with this many storms happening.
You know, the key thing here is, you know, there's a lot of companies out here. In order to really be a healthy market, folks are going to need insurance for their home. So the whole idea is to make sure there's a lot of companies out there that are offering policies. So if there's different companies that are offering policies, there's different options for the individual to pick the kind of coverages they want. Sometimes competition creates affordability over time. So that's something else that you want to have. You know, as long as there's homes out there and people finance their homes, guess what? The mortgage companies are going to require that these homes be insured. So companies are going to be around. The question is how many of these are going to be there and how many policies can they have at any given point? You want to make sure that there's plenty of folks out there. You don't want to have just one big company out there like a Citizens insuring everything. You want to have multiple companies out there to make it really fair.
I just get concerned because it's such a hit every time a hurricane comes through. And we always get kind of nervous as, you know, people in Florida wondering, are we even going to – have insurance companies willing to even try to insure the homes here because it's so expensive when these hurricanes come through?
It is expensive. As if you look at insuring a home here compared to maybe in another state that doesn't have that hurricane.
No, I don't mean
loss.
Expensive for the homeowner, but I'm expensive when people are filing claims after a hurricane goes through. Expensive, I mean, for the insurance company.
Well, yeah, I mean, the insurance company charges a premium, and then there's also reinsurance also that the insurance company also buys to help for those kind of situations too. So, again, you don't want to be an insurance company that's too big either, and you don't want to be an insurance company that's too small. You want to have proper reserves and be able to charge the proper premium in order to be able to pay those claims when the time comes.
All right. Is there anything you guys want to add before I cut you loose? Because we're going to have to get to the next segment. But this is such an interesting topic. Is there something that we didn't cover?
No. I feel so fortunate that you had us here. It's such an important topic. And I would just say just – be prepared and don't wait till the last minute.
Yeah. Okay. 30-day waiting period for flood insurance to kick in. So if you get it today, 30 days from now, you're covered. That's an important thing. Mm-hmm. And also know the difference between your hurricane deductible and your regular homeowner's insurance deductible, and make sure that you're covered for what you want to be covered
for. What you want to meet with your local agent. Go over your policies.
Yes. All right. Well, all the phones are going to be ringing in the insurance offices across the area. That's all the time we have for this part of the show, but I'm going to thank my guest, Michelle Losapio, Fort Myers Bay State Farm Agent. Michelle, thanks for being here. Let's all hope for a slow hurricane season.
Yes.
Also want to thank Jose Soto, Public Affairs Brand Promotion Specialist with State Farm. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
When we return, WGCU's Mike Canary is going to sit down with a member of the Fort Myers Amateur Radio Club to learn what role ham radio plays in both disaster preparation and disaster response. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.